Are we all ready? I'm not sure what we're seeing over here. What I'm seeing is Radio in the Cloud, a case study. Are we in sync? Super. Thank you so much. Well, it's wonderful to be here. Certainly a thrill. You guys are such a lovely audience. I have no plans on taking you home with me, okay? Just to get that out of the way. So I used to work with Kirk Harnack back in the old days, Scott Studios. We were co-vice presidents of engineering, which meant that we were the sales helpers. We would actually make work what the salespeople said they were selling to you. So, and Kirk, I think we were on a tort episode with this product. And Kirk said that what I did was stand around and tell the jokes while he was working. And the truth be known, I was doing the work, he was telling the jokes, and I was telling his punchlines before he got finished. So that's why he's resentful. But we're good friends. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. My name is Jim Hammond. I have a colleague floating around here, right back there with his hand raised, Sean Gilbert. He's our solutions architect. What we're going to talk about today is an actual practical application of some of the stuff you've just heard and will be hearing in, I think, a subsequent presentation. So anyway, let's see here. Did we advance?
You can see your slide at that screen down there.
Ah, beautiful. All right, super. Thank you. I appreciate it. Saving me a lot of trouble, sort of like the January 6th presentations there. So anyway, we are honored to be the first cloud-native automation system certified by Amazon Web Services as a partner. We were the first, and we're the only. So we're really happy to have gone through that process. We learned a lot, and it's been good experience for us. So we're not newcomers to the business. We've actually been on the air in Germany for over 4 years. Back in August, last part of July of 2021, I got a call from a friend of a friend, Reiner Eichhorn, who was the International Director of Music Master, asking if I'd be willing to talk to somebody about some projects in the U.S. And I thought it was consulting because I had left Wide Orbit, where I had been for several years. So I said, yeah, I'm up for that. Anyway, so I saw a 15-minute demo of this presentation of the Radio Cloud, and that is the name of the product. Radio.cloud is the domain. So anyway, I looked at it and said, wow, this is pretty interesting. Does it work? He goes, well, it's on 160 radio stations in Germany. DAB+ covers the entire nation. So I said, all right. We did another hour's presentation. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to the Texas Association of Broadcasters as a spectator for the first time in many years. And came across a friend of mine, Gary Klein, which I'm sure three-fourths of the audience knows. And he said, I've got a client that might be interested in something like this. Gave him a little rundown. And within 4 weeks, well, it went on the air Labor Day weekend, and I had been at the TAB August 3rd. So the spin-up of this project is really pretty quick. So I want to talk about traditional playout and Radio Cloud solutions. In a traditional playout, you've got equipment. You've got heavy equipment. It's steel, tin, aluminum, all those sorts of things. Radio Cloud, we are focused on sustainability because we think that the more investment you make in things that have to be deprecated over a few years is a little bit wasteful. I've done it for years and years. I upgrade laptops, which I'm looking at here, probably every 2 or 3 years. The other ones get recycled into another family member, friend, or whatever, but you're really still moving stuff out. And we think that's an important step. Also, you have to have minimal hardware. You can run Radio Cloud on your laptop because what you're doing is accessing the services that are in Amazon Web Services through your web browser. So, I wish my eyes were better here. The repetitive manual updates that take place in a regular playout system, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Sometimes when you update, you almost always have to shut the computer down and bring it back up and move to another room and do that. And I'm sure everybody's gone through this. And that's just the nature of every playout system. They're hard to update on the fly. So with Radio Cloud, all the updates are pushed down to you. They're done so that you don't even know because all you're doing is accessing it through the cloud. If we updated software while you were on, if you went to another screen, it would all be completely different, or not completely different, but completely updated. So the system interconnection is different for Radio Cloud than it would be for a regular point-to-point-to-point-to-point system. I know a lot of systems have the ability to reach out and touch multiple locations, but it's usually done terrestrially with interconnectivity, whether it's going to be tie line Comrex's, as was mentioned before. But if you call it cloud, it's really over the internet. With Radio Cloud, it really is the cloud. All connections go up to the cloud with Amazon Web Services and are presented to the local playout location instantly. And we'll talk more about what an instant means in a little bit. But anyway, there is minimal localization if you're running a network. If you have a station or a group of radio stations and you have multiple brands, country, top 40, if you still use that term, hot AC, whatever, each one of those has to be identified locally. And if you're using a satellite or you're using something else, it's not going to be really well localized because you may be playing a local jingle or you may be playing some sort of identifier. With Radio Cloud, we do what is called hyper localization because you can even mix voices and it sounds like one complete sentence. And we do that with machine learning so that we know exactly what's coming up, what has to go where based upon previous practices for your radio stations. And many of the features in a regular terrestrial playout system, as you might know, take more hardware, more power. So what you used to be able to do with a Pentium and 8 gigs of RAM now takes 32 gigs of RAM and dual Xeon processors. It's just the way things go. More features requires more power and more expensive hardware. With Radio Cloud, all of that is done in the cloud. So you don't have to worry about adding anything because Amazon Web Services has a number of different functionalities that allow it to be updated, to expand to fit the available and desired need for storage. And I think we talked earlier, I think Kirk did, about microservices. What we're going to talk about now is cloud-native containers and virtual machines. So that may not be showing up entirely, but this is the migration method for transitioning to the cloud. Now, if you move your existing full-bodied, all-encompassing playout system to a virtual server somewhere else, that isn't necessarily in the cloud. It's just in somebody else's computer. Amazon would not like you to be doing that, or Azure or Google Cloud. They really need to have, and you really need to have, the ability to have things sliced up and diced and put into microservices in a container and could be spun up in a heartbeat. The top half of that slide is trying to migrate a full-bodied terrestrial playout system. The bottom half is, as you can see, has several fewer dots, several fewer things that you have to do, but it has to be cloud native, and that means it has to be built for the cloud from scratch. You really can't go back unless you do a complete rewrite of a playout system because of the complexity of all of what it has to do with ingest of logs, playing music, reporting back. It's not for the faint of heart. But anyway, the top half tells you how many touch points you have. The bottom is how many touch points if you are cloud native. It's much simpler to do, but you have to do it from start. The conversion isn't a pretty thing. So, so if we run a full database and outsource it to Amazon, and they have what's called S3, which is simple storage service. The neat part about simple storage service is that you can put millions of audio files in there. If that's not enough, you just keep putting it in there. And through a thing that Amazon calls Amazon Elasticity, you can grow the body of whatever you need to contain automatically, seamlessly for you. With S3, you get a backup of all the audio. And we'll talk about those nines that everybody thinks about just a bit. But anyway, you can have millions of files up there, and it gets backed up every 5 minutes. And you're able to run microservices on this platform. Microservices are essential because, again, since things are done in for a specific functionality such as file ingest, file playback, archiving, reading the database and the functionality that's contained in the database, all that's done in microservices. So one of the other parts is that it's scalable. Anything you do in the cloud is scalable virtually, pardon the pun, instantly. There's some cost savings there. We only have to rent on your behalf what you're using. And so far, nobody's exceeded what Amazon can do. So when you move an existing playout system to the cloud, it's called lift and shift. And Amazon uses that in probably not in the politest of contexts. They don't like that when that happens because they get heat for something not happening how and how fast it should function. But those types of lift and shift processes don't really meet the needs and the functionality of the cloud. Cloud-native containers are scalable, as Kirk mentioned, and Greg Shea and everybody else in the presentation. And I thought that was really good for somebody else to corroborate what I'm going to say. Containers can be turned on and off and anytime you need it. That's a function that Amazon calls Lambda. So it's not just another COVID variant. It actually is something that Amazon has created. So it's event-driven. So when you need to do something, it spins up whatever microservice that you need to use, such as file conversion. And to get this this out of the way early, we like to play WAV files. WAV files... would seem to be not the thing that you would play over the internet or from a cloud. We play WAV files, but if you want to preview something and you want to test it out or hear it before you play it, just like you would in a conventional playout system, what you will have is a data reduced or compressed MP3 or AAC file in your headphones, but it's going to be the best quality of that type file that you can have. But what we broadcast is a WAV file. So some examples of the lambda would be audio transcoding, because we will ingest a file, and when we ingest the file, we store the WAV file in the playout section. We store the data reduced file in the preview section. So playlist creation is also one of the things we do, in addition to the storage of broadcast clocks and every other thing that might be attendant to a playout system. So some considerations, some things that we talked about, these are just things that come up in the conversation with security. And I noted the number of hands of people who are both the chief engineer and the IT person, and I suspect that most of you who really are the IT person didn't raise your hand, because it's gotten to the point where the director of engineering, the engineering consultant, you wear three hats, fixing the soda machine, making sure that the station stays on the air, and making sure the station is secure. Amazon manages the security of the cloud for us. The first mile getting to the cloud and the last mile coming from the cloud through your ISP is all you have to be concerned about. Amazon has thousands of people in IT security. It's a huge thing for Amazon. So want to talk about safety. We back up every 5 minutes, and those files are saved for a minimum of 30 days. So if you have a log that you have played and you want to reference something, it's available for at least 30 days. So we're going to talk about the nines now. Durability. Durability means that the file exists in the cloud. That's the one that has the most nines, I think up to 14 nines, depending upon which statistics you look at. Availability means you can get to that audio. You can download it. You can do some other things with it. And reliability is the probability that a system is going to perform as you intended. So each one of those has a decreasing number of nines, but I think the reliability still is probably six or seven nines, again, depending upon which set of statistics you look at. So the cloud-native formula to determine whether something is cloud-native or not, it uses cloud infrastructure. That's pretty basic. It uses microservices. Those microservices, again, as Kirk and some of his colleagues had talked about, are small bits of software dedicated to a specific function. It's not this amorphous lump of software that does this and that and this and that. It's specific types of activities. Containers. We use containers. The continuous delivery, meaning that it is continually able to ingest and send back to whatever facility, radio station, group, network, what is in the cloud. And ongoing development. One of the key indicators of whether something is cloud native or not is the ability to have continual progress in development and not have to send it down and update things manually. The ongoing development is real a big key with cloud native. And with all that, this allows you to run a maximum number of applications on a minimum number of services. So cloud native, that's the underlying formula for cloud native. Okay, so what is Radio Cloud? I mentioned earlier that it was the very first 100% cloud native playout system or automation. It has content management, it has production, and it's been on the air for over 4 years. It's been on the air in the United States, Labor Day. We celebrated our first year with stations on the air here in the U.S. We can interface with existing automation systems. So if you have a playout system and you don't want to deprecate it because you have a huge capital investment in it, once you decide you want to move over to a cloud, we can still integrate with pretty much any existing playout system, whether it's some of the big five in the United States or some that come from Europe. We know their audio formats, we know their log formats, we can do any conversion. Our native file structure is cart chunk, which I think was supposed to be the standard. There are a lot of standards. I think cart chunk was supposed to be the one that would be the one that answers all the needs. So anyway, we can interface with just about any playout system. And we support both live and network programming. And the distinction between live and networking is, live is if you are broadcasting and it goes directly to your transmitter through the cloud. And I'll explain a bit more about that. But anyway, the great thing about the network is that we do the hyper-localization. So you want to see some of that. I don't know whether we're going to be able to play some of the audio, but it's okay. This is a basic layout. What you see on the far left-hand side is Voice Tracker. That's kind of the first thing you would see. The middle is our audio browser. Down below that is the playout system itself. And to the right of that is our live system. You can see that it has multiple faders. We can, again, the thing on the far right is our playout device. It's a small, this is made by Seneca Data, the company that makes a lot of computers for some of the other standard playout systems. That could be based either at your studio or at your transmitter site. It's completely up to you as to how you want to use that, but we can interact with anybody else's playout system, and we can actually take things directly and be the sole playout device. And it's a very, very small. We've got one in our stand over in the exhibit hall that you can pick up and juggle a little bit if you'd like to. Radio Cloud with Amazon Web Services. Let's see if this pops up here. There we go. These are some of the web services that we leverage with Amazon. We use Lambda, which is the process of having a service pop up and go away when it's not needed. We do Amazon transcription. So each one of the announcers' statements or whatever they record is transcribed so that the program director can see it, so your lawyer can see it if he needs to, and make sure that exactly what was broadcast is being transcribed. And I see we're having the same thing here, courtesy of ENCO, and thank you. Appreciate that. So Amazon also has the simple storage. They manage all of the services for us. And the other one is the ElastiCache, which allows us to have as much space as we need to use in for any particular radio station, whether it's a 100 station network or if it's two stations remotely operated. So, case study here. BLR is the largest news facility in Germany. They have a whole lot of stations around the country. They're running in DAB+. So they have 16, I think it's 16 outlets. Like Sean, shake his head, yes, thanks. So anyway, each one of those has to have, in addition to the network content, they need to have localized content. That localized content can be available to anybody that might need to use it. But if it's destined for that particular radio station, it gets played for that particular radio station. And with that, we use Amazon EC2. And the turnaround time for that was 5 to 8 minutes from the time of content creation to the cloud and distribution. Now, with AWS Lambda, as they have presented it to us and as we're using it, that turnaround time is 5 to 8 seconds. And that is from one point in a nation. We can even do it. We did that between Germany, Cleveland, Ohio, thank you, Sean, and I think it was either Las Vegas, and we've done it to Jakarta as well, where we have stations. So Lambda gives us the ability to spin things up, spin them down, and it works very, very quickly. It's a new addition to the Amazon Web Services portfolio. This is our voice tracker. It's really simple. Works like everybody else's voice tracker. Spacebar, 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 spacebar to advance from pre-cut to post-cut. Turn on your mic. We get a counter. We can see a waveform. We're going to be fleshing this out a little bit. We're in a very iterative process of development, so this may look a little different in the next 2 months because we have 20 full-time developers working on this project alone. So we're going to be adding things based upon what the users tell us they want and need. But this is the voice tracker, and it gives you your shift to voice track. Now, if you're the program director or the general manager or anyone else, you can take a look very quickly and see what has been produced, what has not been produced based upon the color. And if you want to see somebody's shift in particular, click on that shift and it will give you the information about what they actually said. It's going to be transcribed. You can press a button and hear it. You don't have to just read it. You can actually hear what they said and how they said it with the intent or with the humor that may have gone wrong. This is shared content. One of the things that Radio Cloud does, it gives you the ability to direct voice tracks to any particular radio station. In this case, this was BLR, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 voice tracks that they need to have for station one and station two. Well, the first two are shared voice tracks. The second two are shared voice tracks. The third one and the fourth one are two different voice tracks that go to two different radio stations. And the last one, last two, are again shared voice tracks. What that allows you to do is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 voice tracks instead of 8. So you can save some time just by simply being able to follow which voice tracks that you record and they go to the regular radio station or directed radio station. So again, those are the shared voice tracks as opposed to the singular voice tracks. This is our live screen. One of the things we do is, as I think, wasn't Greg, but in Kirk's presentation, we were talking about how you share audio content. We share audio content with WebRTC and Opus. Now, we can do that in our live functionality. When it's pre-recorded for just-in-time rebroadcast, which takes 5 to 8 seconds up and down. You can do it in almost, we call it near real time. It's not 5 to 8 seconds after you do it. When we're talking to somebody and you can see that somebody's picture is there, kind of in the middle of the screen, we can invite collaborators to come on, somebody from another location, we invite them in. Very similar to what they were talking about in the previous presentation. We can have co-host collaborators from multiple locations. If you're doing a two-head morning show, they come on. They can actually have control of their fader, if you'd like it to happen, with our graphical interface. We also can control most of the conventional or most normally used work services. We can integrate with them and be able to control them remotely with our interface. And there's highlighted the co-host, which again is invited by us, depending upon if they're an inside employee, a person that works for us all the time, or a special guest. They have a different level of rights. They can't control their mic if they're a guest, but if they're a collaborator or a co-host, they have full access to that control. So, all right, this is the elephant in the room. It's latency. And I think everybody's going to say, okay, how long does this take? Well, as I mentioned before, when you're in automated mode, latency really isn't an issue because, for the most part, I think what most people in the radio stations are looking at would be the voice tracker. We all want to show what our on-air screen looks like, and I think everybody does that. But where most of the time is spent is in the content creation portion of the software. And that would be your voice tracker or your audio editor or whatever to put things together. You could, for all intents and purposes, in many radio stations, turn the screen off on the live playout portion, and things would run just fine because most of the work is done at some other time, with the exception of your morning drive, afternoon drive, and special programming. The live studio, which is our very creative way of identifying it, is supported by Amazon. I've got to move that a little bit, or stand back, one or the other. If I stand back, I can't see the tiny print. But we use US West, US East. We also support the Amazon platform in Singapore and in Germany. We're working with some Canadian groups. Canada has one in the Montreal area, and they're working on spinning one up out west, and we're guessing it's going to be somewhere around Calgary, but not quite as far west as Vancouver. But as I mentioned, for audio, we use WebRTC, and we also use Opus. The key thing with WebRTC is you don't hear yourself. You're not going to be subject to the delay that causes you to stumble, stutter, and drag out your voice, and I'm sure everybody has probably played with something like that. You don't hear yourself. And I think we've become accustomed to that with Zoom calls and Teams and things like that. So in any event, given the proximity of the services that we're using, and we still can use Azure, we haven't used Google Cloud yet. Being a Google alum, that would be kind of neat, but we felt that Amazon provided more of the services for the support of creation of this sort of endeavor. So anyway, the microphone, we're talking, if you're listening to it on the other end, if you're the collaborator, it's probably going to be maybe 10 milliseconds. We saw that in the video that Kirk did about the spontaneity of the live play out, rather than up and down and back to you and through your audio processing of being 100, 150 milliseconds, which is intolerable. 10 milliseconds is probably okay. Anyway, so these are the Amazon regions that you can see. They're spread out all over the world. We were using one, I think we're using one in France at the time when we did the nationwide test or intercontinental test, and it worked just fine. So more Radio Cloud highlights. Just like every other automation system or playout system in the world, we have an audio browser. You can search for anything by time, by length, by when it was produced, who it is, the name of the song, anything else. That's pretty common stuff, but that's in the system. In this one, this is a little different than some systems. We can have multiple intro points or cue in points. We can have different mix points or EOMs, and when I say different, you can have three EOMs, three mix points, which is the trigger for the next event. The system, using its ability to look at things and time things out, you'll never have to fade something out. You'll be able to play it to its logical conclusion is determined by your program or music director, which makes it kind of nice. So we're not artificially fading something out at a time that you didn't want to happen. We're also not stretching and squeezing. We don't need to do that. But we also have hooks there. All of those things can be put in your pre-production, and they can be used as you format your clock. Now, this is what our clocks look like. They're linear, follow just like you would a playlist when you create them. What you do is you'll drag whatever categories you want from the far left side into the middle, and it creates the graphical image that you would see in a music scheduling program on the far right-hand side, so that your program directors or music directors have some measure of comfort with what they're looking at. And it works out very smoothly. Now, when you want to talk about the complexity of some clocks, the one on the left is a generic clock in which it's music, and we didn't insert any spots there. That's just a basic music format. The one on the right-hand side is kind of off the chain. I think it has 92 different elements in it. It's the Flo Kirshner show, which is in Germany, and they have so many different elements that we interact with and play on a daily basis, but that's how intricate your clocks can be. Now, those inner rings are things that are done for not just his home station, but for remote stations, and you can see that there are at least three different levels of elements in there. That one happened to be probably the most, I'll use exotic for a polite phrase, but it was a piece of work, I have to say. Again, we can have, for a network, the network can have multiple clocks for different locations. So if you're a group and you have 10 radio stations that are on a specific brand all across the country, each one of those brands can have multiple formats for each location. If you have a station that tends to sell more commercials, you can have a little bit broader commercial activity segments, or if they talk a little bit more, you can change those things out. But every network station is not the same. It's not like satellite, where you either have to fill that slot with spots or some kind of content, or play the music that the satellite wants you to play. We have a saying that today's satellite is tomorrow's space junk. I was hoping that the Tesla would kind of fall out of orbit and land in my backyard, but I realized it would be unrecognizable when it did that, so I got that off my list. This is what a linear playout playlist looks like compared to a network station playlist. And as you can see, the lines kind of go down this way, but it all times out at the end of the hour because each of those segments is timed and we know exactly when that's going to end. That's what it looks like. Can you hit the speaker on yours?
I'm sorry.
Well, we have audio there. I can't play it from here. If you can click on that speaker, it's
Sunny 95. My name is Tony Lorino. If this is your first time here, welcome to a radio listening experience we can all enjoy. It's very simple.
That was actually four parts of audio, and I'm sorry if you didn't get to hear all of it, but it was his very specific intro, talking about the radio station. It was a network piece, and it was crossfade underneath, all done automatically, and all he had to do was record the voice track. It placed everything else automatically. You also have the ability to do that manually if you so desire.
Gotta have my Sunny, Sunny 95. My name is Tony Lorino. If this is your first time here, welcome to a radio listening experience we can all enjoy. It's very simple.
I didn't realize I could play it from here. Hope I skip it this time. Good, we did. Anyway, we talked about the transcription. Amazon transcription allows you to be able to see and hear what you played. Useful for program directors if you want to make sure that things are run on a tight ship. This is what the logs look like. We are proactively monitoring every radio station that we have so that we see that there's content supposed to be there. You can see that some of the stations in the middle haven't filled out their content. Everything that's green is good to go. Some are waiting for an element, and it will tell us what element we're waiting for. And if it gets up to broadcast time and it's not ready, we contact the station and say, did you upload your spots? Or did you upload your liners or whatever? So all that is right there so we can proactively monitor it. And we do that with PRTG and New Relic. We monitor the status of your playout system. That's not just what Amazon does, it's what we do with your player. So we can tell just about anything that's happening or going to happen, and we get levels of urgency, as it were. Some things are, hey, you don't have your logs in for the day after tomorrow, which would be Sunday on a Friday or whatever. We can tell that. And this is kind of our main status for our proactive monitoring. It'll tell us exactly what we need to be looking at and when we need to notify you. We have different levels of urgency. Also, I think one of the other things that's kind of neat, and this is a frill, admittedly, but we have access to social media. So if somebody wants something to talk about rather than, hey, here's another hit by, Taylor Swift, you can actually look at Taylor Swift's media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or Wikipedia, if it's kind of an old group, and have something to talk about, just more content information. These are microservices that RadioCloud runs. Audio transcoding, we mentioned that. We have both full and compressed files that we can do. We do analysis of the audio, including the cut length, EOM, everything about it. Playlist generator, we also manage that for you so that everything is placed exactly where it's supposed to be if you're mixing music and your traffic logs. Hopefully you've got that part done. But if not, we can make minor corrections to do that. WebSocket signaling, we take care of that for you. And Live Studio Media Server, and we'll have one of those in the exhibit hall just a little bit later for playout. And kind of in summary, we're the first cloud-native playout system. And we're really proud to be here in the U.S. and bring some of that technology to people here. We are global. We're flexible, scalable, and secure. And I think those are the key words: scalable and secure. Nobody wants something that's going to be hacked, and I know that's happened. So if you protect your last mile coming into the station, everything else is going to be very secure. And we do that through leveraging the power of Amazon Web Services. So this past year at the NAB, we were proud to win two awards, two best of best products of the year for our endeavor here. So anyway, we're on track to have over 100 affiliates here in the United States within, not this year, but within the year from when we started. So anyway, famous QR code there. If anybody wants more information, you can scan the QR code. We'll also have the QR code everywhere. I think Sean's got it tattooed on his arm. Is it that one? And how big is it? Okay, good. All right, so anyway, any questions? Okay, that was simple. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate it.